Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in the book of Acts and starting a brand new chapter today. And I just love, I know I say this all the time, John, but I love this section of the book of Acts.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Pastor. Acts 17 is an exciting passage as we're going to see Paul later on go to Athens and deal with the Athenians.
And what's interesting, as you read the Bible and see the way by which ministry was conducted, is that one size does not fit all when it comes to methodology. Now, the truth is the same. Wherever you go, a truth is unchangeable. But the way by which you share the truth, the method that you use, is going to change according to the culture in which you're sharing it.
Yeah, I love that observation, Pastor. We even see that in the ministry of Christ in John chapter 3 and 4. With Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the nobleman, how each of those individuals Christ deals differently because of who they are and where they're at in their life.
So I would say this when it comes to sharing the gospel. Know the gospel for sure. There's no substitute for knowing what the gospel is and knowing the truth. Know it for sure. And then just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when it comes to the conversations you have with people, to the situations that you find yourself in. I think that's when the Holy Spirit can take the tools that you've put in your tool chest, the Word of God, the gospel, and then help you to share it in a way that would be most applicable in that situation.
Yeah, I love how the Holy Spirit does give us wisdom. You know, some people are ready to jump into a really meaty conversation right away, and some people you kind of talk to and comes around, the Holy Spirit opens doors up where you can kind of organically give the gospel.
And don't be worked up about that, my friends. Just be sensitive to, yielded to. That's really what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And let God do a work in your life. People are going to listen to you that won't listen to me, and vice versa. So let's see how some of that takes place right here in Acts 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. So if you took a Bible map, which I would encourage you to do, and just looked at these places along the way, you'd find that a trip from Philippi to Thessalonica is going to be a trip that's about a three-day trip. And the cities back in Bible days were often positioned about a day's journey away so that one could travel for a day, spend the night, move on. So Amphipolis and Apollonia were along a highway system called the Via Egnatia, or we would call it the Egnatian Way. It was the highway of the day. So the Apostle Paul is passing through these cities, and he's going to a major city, matter of fact, the chief city of Macedonia, Thessalonica. So what do you make of that, John? He's passing through some cities without stopping and rendering a gospel witness there.
Yeah, I think it comes back to what we've seen before with Paul, how that Paul often goes to major metropolitan areas to share the gospel. We have seen earlier in Acts where the Holy Spirit has definitely led him and said, don't go there, go here. And also, although the Bible doesn't here give the Holy Spirit, you know, leading Paul, as we've seen earlier, I have to think to a degree that Paul is praying, God, what would you have me do? And he's followed the Lord's leading. But I think it goes back to Paul's practical idea that I want to go to the major area, go there and speak, and then let it go out from there to surrounding areas.
And that wisdom was justified, we find later, when the Apostle Paul actually wrote back to the church at Thessalonica. He said to them, among other things, for from you has sounded out the word of God to all of Macedonia. So that whole philosophy of going to a hub city and a place of great influence, a place of transience, was something that God certainly used. So he went through Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So Thessalonica really was a crossroads. in many ways. The major north-south road, the major east-west road, the major port. I mean, it just seemed like the confluence of trade found its point at Thessalonica.
You know, Thessalonica would have been more cosmopolitan even than Philippi was, although Philippi was a Roman colony. Yet here at Thessalonica, they have a synagogue for the Jews. We didn't find that back at Philippi, but now we see that. So definitely this is a melting pot of people that have come here, a great place to share the gospel.
Remember, one of the aspects of Paul's stated philosophy, along with hub city, was to the Jew first. So if a city had a synagogue, the Apostle Paul wanted to start there because that's where the Jewish population would meet. So we find that there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, see that in verse 2, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So let's stop there for a moment and just break that down. So Paul, as his manner was, which it's good in life to have certain habits, certain go-to behaviors that guide your life.
For sure in our life, Pastor, if we have, as we all understand, if we have habits of life, then we just do things second naturally almost, and it's just a practice. It is good for us to develop habits in our life that are going to help us as we minister the gospel and as we're in the Bible ourselves studying the Word of God.
Another word that we use for habit is the word tradition, and I think if we're not careful, sometimes we talk about the danger of traditionalism, and that's true. There is a danger in traditionalism, but there's also a benefit to traditionalism. So we want to celebrate traditions without being traditionalistic. I think Jesus said, and I think it was in John 8, but correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, you make the word of God of none effect through your traditions. That was Mark 8, Matthew 15. You make the word of God of none effect through your traditions. So certainly when tradition is put on an equal plane with the word of God, it's destructive. But when tradition is something that helps us to obey the word of God, then it becomes productive.
Yeah, and I like the example you gave there, Pastor, and the explanation you gave there. That's what I'm looking for, is explanation. I love your explanation, because sometimes people do really just downplay tradition and say, we just live by the Bible, you know, we don't pay attention to tradition. The reality is all of us are affected by tradition. We have different traditions, but none of us come to the Bible and read the Bible, you know, just completely objective. We all have things that have affected us. And I praise God for my tradition that is godly. I had a good home growing up, a great church I went to. I thank God for that. Now, tradition is not always right. But as you mentioned, we are affected by things from our past, the traditions we've seen. And sometimes those need to be evaluated and changed. But sometimes God uses those to help strengthen us as we serve Him.
Paul's philosophy was, I want to get the gospel to the Jew first. But a philosophy is not, that's ethereal. How do you put shoe leather on philosophy? Well, here's a good way. So because the Apostle Paul wanted to get the gospel to the Jew first, his custom was, his manner was, his tradition was to go to the synagogue first, because that's where Jews were. It's a very practical way to put shoes on your philosophy.
And what a great thought, Pastor. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in philosophy and what needs to be done that we don't ever do what needs to be done because we don't have practical steps to do that. But Paul had practical steps, a great example to us in our life, how that we need to think, okay, here's what needs to be accomplished. Now, what processes can I set up in my life to get that accomplished?
Yeah, that's good. To think through your own life, as John just suggested. What are some big decisions you can make that can govern a lot of small decisions? Like, I think it's just a good decision in life to say, hey, we're going to support the ministry of our local church. Yeah, so if our church meets on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we're going to be there. Now, you can't show me a chapter and verse in the Bible where it says, thou must go to church in the midweek on a Wednesday. You know, now, some people would think that, but the whole point is, but that's a good tradition. And if it's a way by which for you to support your local church, then do it.
Yeah, I love the the thought you gave, Pastor, that sometimes, you know, we get hung up on traditions and we look at them negatively, but sometimes we revere them too much and say, oh, if we change the tradition, then it's going to be terrible for us. And so we do, in our culture today, what are things we can do to carry the gospel out? And what are things we can do to accomplish the work of God as God gives us wisdom?
Insofar that your tradition helps you obey the Bible, keep it. Insofar that your tradition has replaced the Bible, get rid of it. And that might be a good rule of thumb. The Bible says that Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, unto the Jews, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ, remember, my friends, when you see the term Christ in the Bible, you might mistake that to be a name for Jesus. It's not a name, it's a title. Okay? The New Testament word Christ, anointed one, parallels to the Old Testament term Messiah. So, opening and alleging that Christ, Messiah, must needs have suffered and then risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom we preach unto you, is Christ. So that was kind of the MO of the Apostle Paul, to demonstrate what does the Bible say, their Bible was the Old Testament, what does the Bible say about the nature of the ministry of Messiah? And then in describing that and in defining that biblically, then to demonstrate that Jesus fulfilled all of those descriptions. Therefore, the conclusion must be Jesus is Christ.
Yeah, I love how the Bible points out that Paul did this for three Sabbath days. Now, for 3 weeks, Paul is going to this synagogue. He's sharing these truths. He's reasoning from them. So there was not an immediate backlash against Paul, but Paul is taking the Bible and sharing what you already mentioned, Pastor, that Christ had to suffer, that Jesus is the Christ, and he takes some time to lay out the arguments from the Old Testament.
And he's using the Bible, which let's let the Bible be the arbiter of our beliefs. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So that's what Paul's doing here. He's simply showing what the Bible says. And he's showing them, these Jews, passages that they have available to them, but for whatever reason, maybe have not been emphasized or have not been understood. So, for instance, that Christ must suffer. The Jews didn't believe that Messiah would have to suffer. They thought Messiah was going to be a political leader that would throw off Roman oppression, that would rule and reign. And all of that is true. But what they were missing was the vicarious aspect of Messiah's death, his suffering, the Isaiah 53, the Psalm 22, the many other passages that indicate what would happen to Messiah.
You know, I think today, Pastor, we so well know the narrative of the New Testament that we don't understand the struggle the Jews had in comprehending that their Messiah had to suffer. We even see, though, the apostles, good men, Peter, James, John, and others, they all had a hard time understanding that Christ had to suffer. The Old Testament made it clear, but it was not something that they saw in their time, and it was something that it took a while to understand that whole idea.
So let's be clear that the reasoning where the Apostle Paul is just, and by the way, I like the word reasoning because he's engaging their minds. He's trying to help them to understand. He's opening. In other words, he's trying to bring the Bible, open the door of the Bible to their minds, alleging he's making an allegation, a statement of truth based upon what he said. And then what he's explaining, in essence, is the gospel. He's talking about the suffering, ultimately the death, and then the resurrection of Christ. He's preaching the gospel, which tells me, John, the gospel is not a New Testament invention. He's using the Old Testament to demonstrate the gospel message.
You know, and I love how throughout even the time of John the Baptist, the time of Jesus Christ, how that when Christ preached, the apostles all preached, Paul, Peter, all of them, we find that they use the Old Testament to share the gospel. And the gospel is seen in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, God made it clear that he would send somebody who would come for our sins. And that is the glorious message that Paul is sharing right now.
And never forget, my friends, our responsibility is to tell people. Can you explain from Scripture the gospel? Can you demonstrate that from Scripture to other people? That ought to be a goal of yours. Make that a passion in your life. It's not our job to change people's lives. We don't do the job of saving, but God uses people to help people. How shall they hear without a preacher? And Paul had a great manner, a great tradition in the way that he shared the gospel with the people whom he loved. So I hope that helps today, my friends. And I hope you'll think about that. And I hope that this will spur you to action when it comes to giving the gospel message to those that desperately need it. Have a great day, my friends, and we'll see you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.